I'm going to take you on a little trip through its fourth chapter in the book of Psalms. Would you open there your Bibles with me? How good it is when we're taking a trip to get directions from somebody who knows the way. Paul and I have traveled together in several places. We went to Yucatan, Mexico, Chiapas, Mexico, a beautiful island of Ireland and England. And each time we had someone with us who knew where we were going, what we were going to do, what we would see. We went to Yucatan with Walter Gruber. There's no better tour guide. We went to Chiapas, Mexico with Milton Howard. And we went to Ireland with the Irish preacher, Dale Clark, and also to England with Dale. And it's always good that if you're going to travel with somebody who knows the way. And I'm opening the Bible tonight to Psalm chapter 4. I've selected this psalm to teach you tonight. And I do with full confidence, absolute confidence, that the author, David, will not lead us astray. I know that David will not cause us to fall or to faint, because the Heavenly Father said of David, I have found David, the son of Jesse, not another David now, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and he shall fulfill my will. And the fellow I'm looking at tonight and following, listening to, is David, who will fulfill the will of God. I just believe that. I have total confidence that David will lead us along the right path. Now look at the first thing that he says. He says, hear me when I cry, O God, of my righteousness. Now before David talks to us, or anybody else, he's talking to God. That's the first thing he says here. He says, hear me when I call, O God. And I would recommend that anyone who chooses to speak to men about God ought to first speak to God about himself and about men. Don't talk to men about God unless you've talked to God about men. That's right. I learned at least two things, in this business of preaching. The two powerful truths that I would exhort anyone who preaches to follow, these two powerful truths. First of all, the more boldly in Christ a man stands before God, boldly in Christ stand before God, the more bold he'll be in telling the truth to sinners. If he stands boldly before God and learns something, he'll tell the truth to sinners. And the second thing I learned is this. The more often that man spends time in the presence of God, he won't tremble or quake when he stands before the sons of men. If you stand real often before God, when he comes down here to the sons of the flesh, it won't shake him up. Not a bit in the world. Because he knows of whom he believes. He learned it from him. And here's the reason for David's boldness. Listen, he said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. O God of my righteousness, hear me when I call. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hear me when I cry, O God of my righteousness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Listen. Seeing then, you see, you have it here, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hear me, O God. Hear me, O God, of my righteousness. That's our Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about here. Now look at verse 1, the second part of verse 1. He said, hear me, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Thou hast enlarged me. What is enlarging? Well, here's what it is. He made room for me. He made room for me. He opened the way for me. Thou hast enlarged me when I was distressed. And you delivered me then, and now you deliver me. Listen. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David's plea for mercy, present mercies, are based upon his belief in God's past mercies. That's what he said. You have helped me. You have opened the way for me. You have opened the door for me. You've done it again and again and again when I've been distressed. Now then, have mercy on me right now. Right now. Have mercy on me right now. And hear me when I cry. Hear me. I want you to open your Bible now to Judges. I believe that Brother Paul referred to this recently in his message. In Judges chapter 13. I want to show you something here. In Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. Now, David is saying, now you blessed me in the past, and I know you're going to bless me now. And now here in Judges 13, in verse 22, old Manoah, you know, he was going to be the father of Samson. God was going to give him a child. And he said to his wife, we're going to die. He said, we're going to die because we've seen God. He was that. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. He sinned up in that flame of that sacrifice. He said, we're going to die. And she said, now I want you to. His wife said, if the Lord was going to kill us, if he was pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering. Past blessings. Present need. And secondly, he said, if the Lord will kill us, he would not have received a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would at this time have told us such glorious, wonderful things. He's not going to kill us. He's not going to destroy us. Because he had been blessing us for years and years and years. He's not going to destroy us. He's going to keep on blessing us. All right, verse 2. Now, David goes from the prayer closet to the times of conflict. Real some trouble. Now watch here. Look at that first verse. Hear me, Lord, when I cry, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And then he addresses these sons of Adam. He said, oh, ye sons of men. Ye sons of men. That's who he's talking about. The sons of men, natural men. Sons of Adam, so-called great men. And he brings three charges against them. There's three charges here. Now this is David brings three charges against these sons of men. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory, God's glory, into shame? How long are you going to keep on turning the glory of God into shame? And that's what we're doing in this generation, rapidly going downhill all the way. That's right. Turn to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. See, this is not the case. How long will you turn my glory into shame? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, that they became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, full-footed beasts, snakes, creeping things. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. How long will you turn my glory into shame? Here's the second chart. And he says, how long will you love vanity? What is vanity? Solomon tried all these different things. He said, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. All these things that men find their pleasure in is vanity. Now turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's see what Paul the Apostle says here about this thing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. He says, but 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we carry nothing out. Therefore, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, vanity of vanity, they fall into temptation. They fall into a snare. And many foolish, hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And for the love of money, vanity, the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How long? Will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you pant after and long after and want vanity of vanity? How long? And then what's it? And how long will you seek after lies? Seek after lies. I want you to turn to John chapter 5 and listen to what our Lord says here. In John the 5th chapter and verse 39. John 5:39. You search the scriptures. They did. All these Pharisees and Sadducees searched the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I'm come in my Father's name, and you will receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? We receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone. Who is a liar? Could you answer that question? Who is a liar? I'll tell you who is a liar. Turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 22. I'll tell you who a liar is. And then all the scriptures are all men liars, but these folks especially. First John chapter 2, verse 22. Listen. Who is a liar? Who is a liar? But he that denied that Jesus is Christ. Everybody that denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. Isn't that something? Every person that denies that Jesus Christ is a liar is a liar. It's not just that denies that Jesus Christ is God, he's a liar. And not only that, he's an antichrist. That's what our pastor talked about, an antichrist that denies the Son and the Father. Oh, I tell you, who is a liar? Everybody that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. All right, let's go back to the text. Psalm 4. Now watch this, verse 3. Verse 3. But know, that the Lord has set apart him that's godly for himself. The Lord has set him apart, him that's godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. My friends, whatever the conditions, how long will you turn like over in shame? How long will you follow vanity? How long will you believe the lies that people tell in the name of God? Well, know this. But God, that's what the scripture says, so, but God, who is rich in mercy. But God, when it pleased him, he revealed his Son to me. But God, but know this. Whatever the conditions that surround us, whatever the times or years bring to us, whatever the attitude of the sons of men, it's going to be some bad times, some good times. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. There shall be earthquakes in many places, famines, troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows in every age, in every generation, in good times and bad times. But know this. Learn it well. God has set apart him that's godly for himself. For himself. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God that in all fullness shall dwell in Christ. It pleased God to bruise him on the cross. It pleased God to reveal his Son in us. And it pleased God through this thing that I'm doing right now, the foolishness of preaching, to save those that believe what I'm preaching. That's right. God has chosen. God Almighty has drawn them with an everlasting love. God Almighty has chosen them in Christ. God Almighty has accepted them in the beloved. And God Almighty has watched them, sanctified them, justified them in Christ, and their names are every woman written in glory. Know this, that the Lord has set apart him that's godly for himself. The Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and for himself his particular treasure. The precious sons of Zion are fine gold. They're the work of the hands of the potter. And those who fear the Lord, he said, they're going to be mine. Those who fear the Lord, they're going to be mine when I make up my jewels and my special treasures. Their names will be written in the book. Turn to John chapter 17. And this is what our Lord says about these folks. John chapter 17. I've reserved the people for myself. John 17, verse 8. I have given unto them the words you gave me. They have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that you sent me. And I pray for them. Yes, listen. I'm going to read on. But he said, know that the Lord has set him that is godly apart for himself. Now listen to it. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. They're thine. And all mine are thine. And all thine are mine. I'm glorified in them. I am glorified in these people. I am glorified in them. Look at that verse again, verse 3 in Psalm 4. But know that the Lord has set him, that's you and you and you and you and you and me, set him apart that's godly. Who's godly? Who's he talking about here? He's godly. I tell you, I know who's godly. Number one, give five things. Number one, the person who is godly is a man who fears God. The ungodly have no fear of God before their eyes. I do. You do. The man who fears God, he was said of the ungodly. There's no fear of God before their eyes. But God said of Job, my servant Job is an upright man. He fears God. Do you know that the worship of the Lord was what's called men who feared God? The very worship of God is fearing God. Fearing God. Oh, my servant Job was an upright man and he fears the Lord. Secondly, who is a godly man? Who's a godly person? This person is godly who trusts the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Job said, though he slay me, I trust him. It's a godly man. He trusts God. Though he slay me, I trust him. Oh, Job said, I might go down the grave, but I won't trust him. And thirdly, the person who is godly is a man who loves God. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. He's ungodly. If he doesn't know God and love God, he's ungodly. And this is his commandment, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Also, to Peter he said, do you love me? But Peter said, you know everything, you know I love you. There's no doubt about that. That's not an issue. Man who's godly fears God, he wouldn't take God's name in vain. I would. Give that first. The man is godly who trusts the Lord. The man is godly who loves God. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. God gave us that love for him because he loved us first. And then the person who is godly, he said, I've set him apart as godly. The person who is godly knows God. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know who he is. How can a man be called a child of God if he doesn't know his daddy? If he doesn't know his father, then he's not a child of God. He knows his father. Christ prayed, this is eternal life. this is it. He said, this is it. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we know, we might know Him. We might know Him that's true. And we're in Him that is true. And this is a true God. This is eternal life. And I set Him apart, God said. Know this, that the Lord has set Him apart. That's godly. And the fourth thing, the person's godly, who fears God, who trusts the Lord, who loves God, loves others, he knows God, and he acts God-like. He acts like his Father. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you this right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. I see through a glass, Daphne, I know that. But we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And we're changed. We're changed into the same image. From glory to glory. From one degree of faith to another. We're changed. We behold God. And it changes you. You talked about that just recently, it changes a person. Yeah, we're changed into the very image, the same image from glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. That's how we change. That's how the pastor talked about growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God saves us, we're babes in Christ. We get a little understanding and we're young men in Christ. We get a little understanding of His glory and love and grace and we become elders in Christ. That's right. Come on. All right, let's look at verse 4. Verse 3, know that the Lord has set Him apart as godly for Himself, and the Lord will hear that man when I call unto him. He will hear when I call unto him. Now, David gives us right here in these two verses some mighty good advice. I think this is mighty good advice. He won't let us down here. Now you watch this. So stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. What's he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. Stand in reverence before God. Stand in fear before God. Stand in humility before God. Stand before God, the eternal, sovereign, almighty presence of the great God, and cease from sin, the sin of pride. That's what God hates worse than anything, pride. That's what he's saying. Seven things God hates, a proud look, number one. Pride. Cease from pride. Cease from arrogance. Cease from over familiarity with God Almighty. Just stand in awe. Just stand in awe. And do not become arrogant. I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. You know, if I'm preaching this message, I keep going back. Paul said the same thing a few days ago. Paul, hey, we preach the same thing. That's right. Chapter 5, verse 1. Listen. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They consider not that they do evil. Don't be rash with your mouth. Stand in awe. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God's in the heavens, thou art on earth, therefore let your word be few. Stand in awe. And don't sin with your mouth. And sin not. Stand in awe. Don't go into arrogance and haughtiness and pride and these things. Be humble before God. Here's the second thing he said. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. This is really important here. Now listen. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. You know, we worship together. We're here tonight all together. I'm so glad to be here. I just enjoy coming. We all worship together. And we praise God together. The pastor's best and sing the great old hymn by John Newton and others and how we enjoy it. We sing, we preach together, we pray together, but when it comes to the heart, commune with your own heart upon your bed. Get alone with God. When it comes to the heart, our relationship with our Lord, that's personal. When it comes to our sins, I don't confess my sin before people, but I do before Him. I have an understanding with Him. He knows me. I don't need to hide. Our needs are put before Him. Our commitment must be sincere and alone. Away from others, away from voices, away from other influences, just be alone with God. Spend some time alone. And I know husband, wife, they get together, Doris and I do discuss it, but I go in my study. She goes in her room. We get alone with God. I'm just telling the truth, aren't I? I'm telling the truth. Today's religion is loud, it's boisterous, it's never alone with God, never, never alone. Have to be with somebody to keep your faith going, keep your zeal going, keep your encouragement going, all this sort of thing. Today's religion is boisterous and loud. And David said, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait for the Lord. In His word do I hope. Be still, my soul, and wait on the Lord. That's good advice, isn't it? It sure is. Stand in awe. Don't give way to pride and arrogance. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And then here's the third thing. He said in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Of righteousness. Now, I know Abel offered a sacrifice. And God had respect to his offering. But I can't offer that sacrifice. People do. And the Passover feast, they offered a sacrifice to God that I can't offer lamb. And then our Lord Jesus Christ would make sin for us outside the camp. Let's read about, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, let's see. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 10. Hebrews 13, verse 10. All right, here we have an altar. Somebody said, "You have an altar in your church?" Yeah, we have an altar. Not down here. We have an altar. whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary of the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And also, wherefore Jesus, our sacrifice, our sin offering, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. Now then, let us go. Hear him. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, of righteousness to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God, to his name, and to do good, and to communicate. Don't forget that. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We have sacrifices. That's right. With these sacrifices, God is well pleased. Fruit of our lips, praise to God. Talking about this gospel through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should come in here and hear Paul preach about it. That's where we, that's our sacrifices of praise. That's our sacrifices. All right. But to do good, verse 16, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So back to my text. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Now then, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? I looked at that back when I was writing my commentaries. And it occurred to me that the word any is not supposed to be here. It's in italics. It's in italics. And here's what he said. There'd be men that say, who's going to show us good? I can show you good. I can show you good. Let me just show one place. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I should never do this because I got such a bad memory. I may forget what I'm turning about. Psalm 119, listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 71. Who's going to show us good? Psalm 119, 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. That's good for me. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So that's good for me. I'm going to show you some more good. I'm going to show you some more. Here's good. Here's good. Look at verse 6 here. There be many that say, who will show us good? And then David answers, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. That would be good. Lift up the light of your countenance on us. That would be good. Now turn to Psalm 80. Psalm chapter 80. Let me show you what David said here. You know, there's no interpretation of the scripture like the scriptures say. There's no commentary on the scripture like the scripture. But listen to Psalm 80. Verse, where did he say? Well, like he said, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now look at Psalm 80, verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we'll be saved. Now look at verse 7, Psalm 80. Verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we'll be saved. Now verse 17, oh lovely, I love that. Psalm 70, verse 80, Psalm 80, verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. So turn us again, O Lord of hosts, and cause thy face to shine upon us. That's good. That is good. Show us good. That's good. That's good. Oh, that's good. And now look at my text again. In verse 7. Of course, there are 7 wrote with Psalm 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Oh, that's good. That's good. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Amen. Gladness in my heart. What's it? More. More than in the time that the corn and their wine increases. He said, you put gladness in my heart, and it's more than if the barns were full and the cellar was full of wine. We know we ain't gonna have both, but this, I'd rather have this, him, than that. That's it. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more glad than the time of reaping and the time of the corn coming in and the wine increases. Oh, that's good. That's good. God is good. That's good. All right, verse 8. Verse 8. But more than gladness, gladness is more than corn in the barn or wine in the cellar. And gladness is this, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Lord, thou only, Lord, makest me to dwell safely. Safely. I'm happy to put gladness in my heart more than a full barn and a wine cellar. And I lay down and sleep tonight, and I'll sleep because God makes me dwell in safety. Somebody wrote this one time. It was said by someone that King Solomon slept with armed guards around his bed. But I'm sure the writer said that Solomon did not sleep any more peacefully than his father David slept, who slept on the ground with King Saul and 400 soldiers running it down. But he slept peacefully and quietly because only God can make us safe. I used to have a friend, preacher's wife, and she told Doris and I one day, said, when a storm comes, me and the two babies get under the bed because I'll be so afraid. Fear not, I'm with you, he said. I'll keep you safe. You don't have to have a gun beside your bed. You've got Christ beside you. I know that. That's so. I want to tell you something here that I've quote. I found this poem. I found this poem by Kent. What was his first name? That John Kent. John Kent. Come, saints, and sing in sweet accord with solemn pleasure's tale. The covenant made with David's Lord in all things is ordered well. This covenant stood at time began, that God with men might dwell. Eternal wisdom drew the plan, in all things it's ordered well. This covenant, O believer, stands, your rising fears to quell. Sealed by the surety's bleeding hands, in all things ordered well. 'Twas made with Jesus for his bride, that for the sinner there, the covenant was signed, sealed, and ratified, in all things ordered well. He'll keep you till the river rolls its waters at your feet, then you'll bury your sacred old one, or your loved one, you call it me. All right, let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. Our merciful Heavenly Father, I would thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a love for the word. You've written these words in our hearts and made us to love your word, believe your word, trust your word, wait for thee. We're grateful. We thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor and this congregation of believers. We pray you'd continue your mercy and blessing to be upon us for years to come. We do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We pray that you'd use this message for your glory, for the good of your people. We pray for our loved ones who are going through trial, heartache, and trouble. We commit them to thee. We pray, Lord, your mercies and grace to be upon them. Forgive our sins. Lead us by your Spirit. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you.